Hear now these words. One day, as we were going to a place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them, washed their wounds, and then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them into the house and set food before them. He and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you all please pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable for you, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, today is our last of the sermon series on Broadway in the Bible. I am sorry there probably won't be a red carpet next week. We'll keep it though, because I'm sure it will come back. But this today we are looking at the musical Dear Evan Hansen, a musical that opened in Broadway in 2016. The story you saw a little bit in the trailer, but I'm gonna tell you in case you couldn't pick up on all the details. The story opens with Evan Hansen, a high school senior who struggles with anxiety and is bullied at school and is sporting a recently broken arm complete with a cast. He sees a therapist who recommends that he writes letters to himself detailing what will be good about each day. He addresses these letters to himself, "Dear Evan Hansen." Evan's mom recommends that he ask people to sign his cast as he struggles with making friends and his anxiety. And we see him struggle as several people he asks decline. I think it's fair to say Evan is a little bit awkward. And as he runs into another classmate, Connor Murphy, his awkwardness is misinterpreted. And Connor pushes Evan to the ground, thinking that he's a little bit awkward, so he doesn't understand it. Connor's sister Zoe apologizes for her brother's behavior. Now, turns out, Evan has a crush on Zoe, Connor's sister, and writes a letter to himself in the library, like his therapist recommends, and mentions Zoe, and wonders if anyone will notice if he were to disappear. Connor bumps into Evan in the library and offers to sign Evan's cast, and he does. Connor happens to see Evan's letter and reads it, sees his sister is mentioned. He freaks out a little bit and takes the letter and puts it in his pocket. In the next scene, Evan is called to the principal's office, where Connor's parents share that Connor has died by suicide. And they found Evan's letter in Connor's pocket. They think that Connor wrote it to his friend Evan, hence the Dear Evan Hansen. They also see Connor's name written on Evan's casts. And Evan does not correct the misunderstanding. Evan thinks about telling the Murphy family the truth, and he decides to tell them what he thinks they need to hear, that they were secretly best friends. Evan even has a family friend create fake emails between himself and Connor to bolster the story. Things, as you might imagine, spiral out of control, as often happens with a lie. As the school learns about Connor and Evan's secret friendship, at that school assembly to remember Connor, Evan is asked to speak and ends up with that beautiful song that Bree and Bobby just sang for us, "You Will Be Found." Evan finds family in a way he hasn't experienced in the Murphys, in Connor's family. Evan's own parents are divorced, and he doesn't have siblings. And he grows closer and closer to Zoe, who he still has a crush on, and the mom and stepdad, and becomes a part of the whole family. But unfortunately, as we know, it's all based on a lie. Connor and Evan were not friends, and Evan continues to embellish the friendship. He has to come up with more and more stories. Some at school become a little suspicious, especially Alana, who is like the class president, who put together a campaign to raise money for the Connor Project, a project to restore an abandoned apple orchard that Evan used as part of the lie. Evan ends up sharing that Dear Evan Hansen letter with Alana, who ends up posting it, thinking this will help get more people to donate money, thinking that it's Connor's last words. And it leads people to instead blame Connor's death on his parents. And they face harassment as a result. Evan comes clean about all the lies, and we see lots of grace in Connor's mom, as she does not want Evan to be the target of harassment and does not want to share that things have been a lie. As penance, Evan decides to learn who Connor really was. He does online sleuthing and finds some people who really knew Connor and talk to them. He even finds a video of Connor playing guitar and seemingly happy, and shares this video with the Murphys. Now, there are so many concepts from the Bible that we could share from this play based on fiction. Of course, lying, which Evan does. He thinks he's doing it to help the family in their grief, but we see it's never good. Things spiral out of control. While it was based on good intentions, it causes harm all around. And the play also touches on suicide, as Evan himself wonders if anyone will notice if he were to disappear, and Connor's loss of his life to suicide. Our own current Surgeon General has declared loneliness an epidemic in our country earlier this year. That was declared. And while loneliness does not always lead to suicide, it can. When loneliness leads to despair and the loss of all hope, unfortunately, suicidal ideation and thoughts can enter. Many of us, when we think of the Bible and suicide, we think of Judas as the first story that comes to mind, who Scripture tells us died by suicide after betraying Jesus. Well, a few years ago, I attended a workshop called Soul Shop with the idea of training church leaders and congregations to be aware of the signs of those experiencing suicidal ideation, and as they likened it to CPR, essentially keeping someone alive until you can get them more professional help, or that help arrives. I offered this workshop for us during the pandemic and would be glad to offer it again if there is interest and someone would be willing to help me lead it. So if that is within your wheelhouse, please contact me. So during this workshop, the passage from Acts that I just read for you was mentioned, and I think embodies the song "You Will Be Found" that Bree and Bobby sang for us. So Paul and Silas were on their way to a place of prayer when Scripture tells us that they met a slave girl who had the spirit of divination. Now her owners exploited her gift and profited off of her. She sensed that Paul and Silas were different and followed them, crying out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." Now, we're told that this was days of being followed by this woman and being shouted at. And after days of this, we're told, Scripture tells us, Paul became annoyed and agitated and had enough and demanded that the spirit of divination come out of this woman. However, the owners of the slave woman were not happy. Their source of easy income dried up, and they wanted the men who had done this to her prosecuted. Now we're told, we see in scripture that this slave woman was essentially a fortune teller, someone who we would call maybe a psychic. Now God throughout the prophets has warned against using psychics, as we should turn to God and God alone, who holds our future in God's hands. Now God can use people with this ability to interpret dreams and other spiritual gifts, and regularly does, but this is one of those spiritual gifts that is easily exploited. I've had spiritual people come up to me and tell me things as a stranger, and I think these things are from God. I have other friends who've been to conferences and people have spoken into their lives like they can see, they have seen them. And again, so God can use this gift, but it is one of these gifts that is easy to be exploited. And this slave woman, she had been exploited. She herself was being exploited, of course, as she was enslaved, but she was using it in a way that was not from God and profiting off of it. So the owners brought Paul and Silas before the magistrate to bring charges. They are disturbing the city. Now they're Jewish and also advocating customs that were against the Roman law, or that's what the claim is. Though no evidence is given in scripture what exactly those were. And as often happens in crowds, the crowd begins to attack. The magistrates order their clothes to be taken and the men to be beaten. And after this flogging, scripture tells us Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. The jailer is told to keep these men secure. These men are very important to the magistrates. So he takes them to the innermost cell, the most secure part, and puts their feet in stocks so they can't move. So Paul and Silas decide during this time they're going to start praying and singing psalms, which were their hymns. They knew them by heart. We see that the other prisoners hear them too. And around midnight, there's an earthquake, so violent that the foundation of the jail was shaken. All the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. This earthquake woke up the jailer. He saw that the prison doors were open. He assumed that all the prisoners were gone. And he drew his sword and was about to die by suicide, when Paul shouted in a very loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Let me say those words again. Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. What beautiful words for anyone dealing with suicidal ideation. Many who have suicidal ideation do not think that anyone will notice if they're no longer here. They've lost hope, often temporarily, like this jailer. He knew that if he had lost all these prisoners, especially Paul and Silas, who he was entrusted with, his life would be over. And in the play, Dear Evan Hansen, both Evan and Connor have this sense of no hope. Even faithful Christians can experience suicidal ideation, and it's important for us as a community to look out for one another, to remind each other we are all here. And the words from the song, "You Will Be Found." Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. And the reminder from the song, and time again, you are not alone. The May before, I went to an event for faith leaders on mental health. And I learned that since the pandemic, pediatricians are actually seeing signs of depression in children as young as preschool age. Friends, our society has some serious issues right now. And I would say depression, loneliness is one of them. People are losing hope. And friends, we have hope to offer one another. And again, these thoughts can even come to faithful Christians, as there are moments when things take over, things feel so desperate that we do not see a way out. Now, God has promised all throughout Scripture to never leave us or forsake us. And God has often also given us one another, community. We are not alone. As Romans 8 reminds us, nothing in all of creation can ever separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. No heights nor depth, angels or demons, even death. Nothing can separate us from God's love. The jailer in our scripture for today was so overcome with relief that he turns to Paul and Silas and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas went to his house, spoke the word of the Lord to them, and the whole family was baptized that day without delay. The jailer went from no hope, desperation, to feeling ultimate hope, eternal life, which started that very day for this man and his whole family. Friends, the good news today is we are not alone. We have God who has promised to always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And God gave us one another. We are an imperfect community. We sometimes say the wrong thing, but we are there for one another. You are not alone. Through Jesus Christ, we will spend eternal life with God. And just like for the jailer, that eternal life and salvation begins right now. So are you like Evan and Connor and the jailer today? Have you felt recently or feeling today devoid of hope? If so, please hear these words from Scripture. Do not harm yourself. We are all here. We are here to help you to get that professional help, to help move from that despair to hope. Maybe you know someone who feels like the jailer, full of despair. If so, how can we help surround you, give you the resources that you need to care for this person and get them to professional help? As we remind one another, we are not alone. Friends, God values all of our lives, desires our wholeness. So may we help carry others to professionals and to God as we constantly remind ourselves we are not alone. Will you all please pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are a God who is always with us, who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, into the world to experience loneliness, experience what it means to be betrayed by others. And yet, God, you still love us so much that you offer us salvation through Jesus Christ. God, help us. We know there are people in our lives who feel this loneliness and this despair. Help us to get them to professional help, and help remind them that they are not alone. God, give us the small tools that we need just to keep someone alive. Thank you, God, that you value all of our lives, that you've given us community, and remind us constantly, you are not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.